My peace of mind. Well, what is on my mind? Well, actually, better yet, what is not on my mind? Well, physical pleasure is not on my mind. I don't give a fuck who wants physical pleasure. I do not. I have this issue that is coming very true with everything I say, and it's being used against me in a way. So, let's see, where to start? How about we start with today? I have done a podcast with peace of mind, given every piece of my mind to everything I do. And yeah, this one's going to be no different. Me, that is, no different for me, the fact that I'm speaking my mind. So, where to start? How about we start with the fact that I've gotten used to having no physical pleasure at all. None. I've gotten used to it, honestly. I think it's just another form of people don't care, don't share, don't have any appreciation for anything. I've found that some people, at least the ones who I get texts from, are very rude. They like to call people pigs. And they like to call people chubby, fat, pancakes, or bacon. And you know what? I don't care. I also am gonna probably get a lot of backlash because I want this person to come on the air with me, and I want to ask him outright, if you're an owner of a business and you have millions of dollars, why would you call somebody those names? Why would you sink so low to a child level to bully somebody over text and send the same text repeatedly at the same time, multiple times, or wish death on somebody? How could you do that as a human being to another human being? See, once you did that, once you do that to me, I don't respect you anymore. Matter of fact, I really don't have much to say. But sitting down with you and asking you these questions publicly would be the best thing to do, because that's what I will do. That's how I operate. That's how I work. That's how this whole thing plays out for everybody. So, this is going to be interesting. At some point, I'm going to get my opportunity to talk to him face to face, but right now, I'm perfectly willing to talk to him 100 miles away. Because I don't have anything to say to him face to face. I think he's a liar. I think he's a manipulator. I think he's doing illegal shit behind people's backs. And I think that he's a troublemaker, because to be honest, I don't know why he would have to do anything. I'm not in his company. I don't work for him. I don't have any time for his bullshit, so I've given him the opportunity. He's gonna get to come on my podcast for a half hour on Castbox. He's going to get to clear his mind and express his opinions. And I don't really give a damn if he gets mad and goes off the air or decides that my statements were a little out of line or decides that my questions are a little too straightforward for him. I don't care. Because I'm going to ask the questions I want to ask, and I'm not going to give a shit what happens afterwards. But I'm going to be as nice as pie about it. See, I have this moral thing about, well, it's like with food. I eat what I want because I like it. I don't eat stuff I don't know. I don't eat stuff that I don't know what's in it. And usually, on the menu at any restaurant, you know what's in it. And right now, me not knowing what's in food is a problem. I am pretty happy with myself. I mean, I've made a lot of good choices in my life, and I've kept myself on the straight and narrow. I don't care if I stay at a low income level for the rest of my life. I don't care. I really don't. I don't need $1,600 to get by. I just need the money I have. I really have given up on a lot of stuff, and I'm not really too, I don't really care to have people or peoples touching me anymore. Hugs are fine. Anything else? Nope. I don't want it. I'll pass every time now, because I don't need it. I don't have time for it. And sex is just a waste of body and mind, unless you really mean it. And there's a lot of things out there that I'm starting not to really mean. But I always mean I love you. It always stays true, because I do. I just don't want any sort of physical pleasure anymore. That's my decision, as that might sound crude or rude or mean or dishonest. I don't want anybody to feel sorry for me, because I don't. I've helped other people out, and I've gotten screwed, and I've gotten used to it. So don't ask me what to say, because I don't know. Pure hatred, pure whatever you want to call it, I don't have time for it. I'm going to do the interview, I'm going to give my opinion, and then I'm going to let it go. But everything else is c'est la vie. I got the groove, I got to move, I got the groove, yeah. I got the groove, uh-huh. I got the groove, yeah. I got the groove, I got to move, I got the groove, yeah. I got the groove, I got to move, I got the groove, yeah. I got the groove, I got to move, I got the groove, yeah. I got the groove, I got to move, I got the groove, yeah. I got the groove, I got to move, I got the groove, yeah. I got the groove, I got to. Welcome to my peace of mind. Today we're going to talk about low income, Social Security, people on SSI, people on disability, seniors, and people on food stamps. The whole thing here is that when we do stuff, we don't do it as a community. We fight. Republicans fight, Democrats fight, and there's no common ground. Well, I'm going to make some common ground here. First, I'm going to tell you all that out of respect, I'm going to ask that if we're going to handle low income, then we need to handle it better than what we're doing, because it's provocatively worse. It's provocatively getting worse by the minute. So let me speak to this. Low income or no income, food stamp recipients, people that have no income, except for SSI, need to hear this. And I'm speaking to the people who can understand this. We need to create a POA, a PAP, a Public Assistance People's Program, which virtually is what I would call a wage fixer. Basically, the whole idea is that if the government wants to help people, then let's make it easy for them to help low income and no income people. If we want to fix the homeless situation, first we got to fix the criminal justice system. Now, I'm not saying that we don't need certain things. We do. But there is a limit to what we need and what we don't need. Having a record for any length of time is bad. 2 years, 10 years, 20 years. I really am sorry that we cannot come together as a people and get things right. So we're going to get this right. What this PAP is, and this is Public Assistance People, that's what the PAP stands for, is a very easy created fund that it's created by the millionaires and billionaires of the country to help build back America. And what's going to happen is people like WWE, Walmart, Target, Dollar Tree, Costco, Winco, all these places are going to have a PAP, a Public Assistance Program, which virtually says that they're going to give a certain amount of money to fund a Public Assistance People's Program to help take care of the public. Virtually that means that anybody who's on low income, food stamps, stuff like that, would get a check to help keep ahead of the bills. Now, a PAP is pretty easy to create. If done right, it doesn't need a government-funded grant. It doesn't need a government intervention. It needs to be a people's assistance program. That means that we need to figure out how to do it, and then we need to do it, because that's the key. The public assistance grant or program would be for families, single Americans, and people that are homeless. The way it would work is if you're homeless, you would get a certain amount of money ranging between $500 and $1,500. Now, if you're homeless, the lowest we could go would be $500. The highest we could go would be $1,500. Now, how that works is that this is going to give you money. You'll be able to, in a way, you'll be able to save some money, but you have to spend some money too, because this will give you the power to get a hotel room for a while. You'll be able to save a little bit there, and each and every month, you'll probably be homeless, but it's a short-term thing. Once you reach 2 grand a month, once you reach your threshold for a minimum payment of a low-income housing, you turn around and go to the government. How this would work would it would be tax-free, no taxes. It would be a tax-free program created by us, the people, that would give to low-income SSI recipients a little extra cash each month to help them meet their financial responsibilities of owning their own home. And it would also add an emergency fund to a non-existent fund that people would need in case of an emergency. People with cars, people on public transit would get the assistance that they would need too. Public transit, stuff like that would be top priority because people on Social Security, people on SSI, people on food stamps, all those things should give them an automatic free bus pass to ride the bus. And what happened then is it'd be turned around. Because instead of paying for a bus pass, you get a free bus pass every month, just like everybody else who's on this program. And these bus passes would allow you to get around and look for work. At the same time, this program would add $500 to your account every month for the next 2 years. And it would be funded by the billionaires. Now, what this means is that we wouldn't start out at $1,500. We'd just start out at $500 to $1,000. $500 for single, $1,000 for couples. And then the child tax credit would kick in because that would be a government-funded program. So if you're getting $500 from the public assistance program, or you're a couple and getting $1,000, that is to help you, okay? That is to help your family. That money can be saved or spent, whichever one you prefer, but you should try and save a little bit for emergency purposes. And this is like common sense creation. What this would do is this would give people the ability to have $1 million, to have a $1 million slush fund paying them constantly. Trillions of dollars would be used out of it to pay other people, to help other people stay on their feet. But also at the same time, it would give us the support and the financial responsibility to know that we're helping low income and people on SSI. Okay. Okay, let's say the average living wage is $1,440.50. That's the average. Now, this is just a quotation of average living wage. I don't know what the actual living wage is, but this is my guesstimate. If you're living single, it's $1,400 and $1,440.50 is the minimum wage. $1,440.50 minimum wage. So electricity, housing, transportation, All those things are added up. Bills, electricity, you can get up there in $1,000 easily. Credit card debt, we are not actually responsible, but in this case, this would help with that too. Funding, it would be guaranteed and it would be non-taxable because it would be considered donations, and these donations would go to help other people. We would keep none of the money. None of the money we would get would go into anybody's pocket. It would be paid directly to the people. That means it would be like a credit. Instead of taking, we'd be giving it to you to use to pay your bills, to pay your Social Security, to pay any number of things that you need to pay. But you have to remember, the minimum requirement of this is you have to be under that $1,400 range. And below that $2,000, a little under that $2,000 range. You can be right at $2,000 to get $1,000. But if you're a couple, that's why I'm saying that. $1,000 for a couple. So between two incomes, if your income doesn't balance out to what your bills are and you're buying more groceries than normal, that's when you start buffering. Now, for people who are homeless, and this is strictly for the homeless community, those of you who are homeless, you would get, a single family would get $1,000. A single man would get $500. That way, it would be easily transferable throughout the country. Now, this money you would get would be like an investment in you, which means that if we were to invest in you, you would have to A, start a business and come to us and tell us what your business plan is, or B, help your family and keep a roof over their head, keep everything powered on, and keep yourself safe. Those are the options for this whole thing. Single people, those are the same for them. If they have a roof over their head and they're keeping their stuff powered on, they get to keep the money. So this is based virtually saving money too. So how does this all come together? Well, it comes together like this. This assistance program would be created and funded by us through the IRS or through Social Security. And it wouldn't have half as many restrictions because of the low income. It would only have the income restrictions. Like, okay, with everything so high, I'm going to make this easy. The income for single is $100,000. The income for married is $200,000. That means if you make anywhere close to $200,000 by yourself, that's gone. And you have to claim all your income. In order to get any of this money, you have to be able to claim all of your income right down to doing your personal errands. Like Uber, stuff like that. And it is, you do have to claim that because that's the way we're able to tell how much we need to give you. So let's continue on. Once all your income's calculated, once your bills are itemized, and you meet the requirements, we will send you out a check. Now, there is a 3-month waiting period, which during that 3 months, we do add a check each month until we send it out to you. At that time, you will get a total of 4 checks, but 1 check altogether. So let's say you get $500, you qualify for $500. Well, that means in 4 months, you get $2,000. And that would be your payment, including the current, including that month. So If you apply, like, let's say you apply in August. August is 3 months down the road. You'd be August, September, November, October, and then December. So you get it right around Christmas. You get it right around the 1st of December, because that would be 3 months. You don't count. You apply in August. You can't count August because it's going to take time to get things going. You count the following months after that. So August, then you go to September, November, October, and then December. December, you wouldn't be in review. You get a letter by then telling you how much you're getting. You'd actually get it by the 15th of the 1st of the 3rd month, telling you how much you'll be getting, and it'll ask to update information every 6 months, because it would be a 2-year program. So that being said, that would give America a recovery bo that would give America a recovery bonus. It also encouraged the families to expand and recover. And all this money, now remember, all this money is tax-free. So no taxes. We would pay all the taxes. This money would be tax-free to the American low-income people. So if you hit $100,000 in income, even 50,000, if you go over that, you won't get the full 1500. If you go over 50,000 to 100,000, at 100,000 it cuts off. There's nothing. You don't get anything. And for those of you who have an income, who can support yourselves, you wouldn't qualify, because single and you make $100,000 a year and you lie to get the money won't work. Because the way this works is you have to verify financials, and you have to verify everything, not just a couple things, everything financially you have to verify. What would happen is we would turn this into a low income help. So like, if you didn't have your name on a power bill, electric bill, or something like that, you would automatically qualify for the assistance to get housing. And we would put you on a housing program, and we would process you through, if you were on Social Security, you'd be processed through in about a year. And we would step it up, because we would work with government agencies to find housing available to pay Section 8 prices that would be automatically reset to Section 8 pricing. So if you're a family, the Section 8 pricing would be a quarter of whatever you make. So if you make like $25,000 a year, that's a quarter of whatever you make, and we would pay your rent. We would chip in for your rent for 2 years. So that means you wouldn't have to pay any rent or electricity for 2 years to get back on your feet. 2 years is all you get. After 2 years, we would come every 6 months, we'd come in, we'd sit down, we'd have a conversation about this. We'd make decision, administrative choice decisions that would not affect you but help you. And we'd also tell you, hey, you still have a year and a half to go, nothing to worry about, you're still gonna get your money, everything's cool, thank you. And we're gonna sit down and set some goals to help everybody out to achieve what they want. Then you go back and you look at all these things and you add up all these details and these things and you start thinking, which I have done a lot of. You start thinking about how it's going to work. Well, the way I would work it is, if I was low income and I wanted to get on this program, I'd look at the price of housing. And I'd say, well, I need help because I'm living at the Mission and I need to get some housing, something worked out for myself. And this would be an American act of kindness. instead of it falling to just a couple people, it would be a random act of kindness to help people out. We wouldn't go after people who have only $100,000, no. We would go after the millionaires and the billionaires of the country to get them to donate and to show them what this plan would do. It's basically a trickle-down effect. 3 months after you apply, we take you through the process. You come into our office at least twice to do a sit-down interview with two caseworkers. You wouldn't have one, you'd have two. The first one you'd meet with would ask you the same, would ask you questions, just like the other one, and they would come together and say, okay, this is how they answer these questions. This is how they answered my questions. If everything coincides, and it's like 99% together, all your answers and everything, then you'd be set. Because that would be the two interviews. You get one a month after you applied, which, like I said, if you apply in August, you're gathering up information, you're getting all your stuff put together. It's going to take a while to submit because it has to go through a verification process. Once that's done, then it's submitted and we go into the 3 month process of getting you processed through for the checks. And at the end, there would be a case supervisor who would sit down and go over all the information, look at all the questions that were asked, try to separate, put together a nice plan, and then you go in with the case supervisor and you sit down and you say, and they tell you what the plan is and how much you'd be getting. And it'd all be on the computer, so you'd see everything that was said, you'd see everything that was printed out, everything like that, and you'd have a case, a digital case file of at least 200 pages. Including your documents. After verification process, after a background check, after everything's done, said and done, we would start the process to get you a check. Now, the exception for this process is single mothers. There would be no 3 month waiting list. The reason I say that is because single moms who have low income, who are living on their own, who are trying to make it on their own, would get an emergency $1,500, would get an emergency $500 or $1,000 to pay their bills. The $1,500 would come in a year after you get on the program. Because we want to make sure that you're going to do what you say you're going to do. And that's what this is all about. Single moms would have special priority right along with disabled and people who are on disability would have these options of getting an emergency cash advance. It wouldn't have to be paid back though. I know when you hear cash advance, oh great, we'd have to pay it back if we get disqualified. No. You would just not get your benefit at all if you didn't qualify. And the qualification process is simple, but for single moms, the qualification process is cut down to a month and a half. Not the month you apply, the month after you apply. So you get it probably right around the 1st of October if you were to apply in August. You get it right around the middle of the month, because that would be a month and a half. He waited till October. And all these things, all these variants would be accounted for. The two interview process, you could do one at the office and one at your house. That way we'd have a frame of mind. And what the interviewers would do is they go off the answers you gave to your other questions to make sure you understood that what you said is standing out. What you say does matter in this interview process. So after everything's said and done, the process would be complete. You'd receive 4 months, or a month, 2 months, just depends on who you are and what your situation is. You'd probably receive 4 months of retroactive pay to help build up a support fund. In that 4 months, your 2 years would start after that. Okay, so if you start receiving money in October, you go to October then 2 years later. And you'd be off the program because you should be on your feet and able to support yourself. And that's the key. We want to make sure you're able to support yourself and have money saved up for that, for an emergency. Next, after everything's said and done, and you're on your feet, all your bills are paid, everything's caught up, and you have nothing left except electricity and rent, we would come in and sit down with you and go over a pay-as-you-go electricity plan, or pay your electricity bill every month. And we would chip in for the monthly electricity and rent. And what that means is that we would chip in half your rent, half your electricity, half your food, and we'd give you the money in exchange. That means we would get you off food stamps a little bit and help you support yourself for the rest of your life. This program would be a rest of your life program sometimes for those who can't do certain things, who have trouble, who are disabled and stuff like that. So this program would like be rest of your life. But after 2 years, we wouldn't be sending you a check. We'd be giving you a voucher to help pay your power bill, help pay your rent, and we'd send the voucher directly to these companies, and then they'd send you the remaining bill. So like if your power bill is $200 a month or something, we'd send a voucher for $100. And if you can estimate how much your power bill is going to be, we'll be happy to help you pay it, okay? Then your rent. If your rent's like $400 on Section 8, we'll pay $200 of it to help keep you in your house. And that would give you some money to get some stuff done that you need to get done. Like medical bill, like having medical, having TV to watch, or having some form of entertainment, having food in the house, having the power on, the heat turned on and everything. And pretty soon you'd be able to get into your, instead of being in an apartment, you'd be able to get into your own home. And the reason I say this is because it would be a great rental plan for a Section 8 house. For a single person, there could be up to 4 people in a single house, in a single bedroom house, because we would set it up like bunk beds, basically. And you guys would be responsible for doing your own laundry, everything like that. And there wouldn't be a pay dryer. It wouldn't be one of those. It'd be a regular washer and dryer, dishwasher. You'd have all the conveniences of home. And you'd have a free TV, which means the TV we put in the house would have select channels from local stations, not all over the country. Now, once you got your own place, you're set, you're paying rent, everything, we'd help you pay your rent even after you move down to the apartment. And then, as time got closer, we would sit down with you and make an arrangement to help you. How would I help you? Simple. Instead of having you pay a lot of money out of your pocket for first and last month's rent, we would step in and talk to the housing manager who is renting the house and tell them there's 4 people living there. They're on disability and they need a permanent price set. We're willing to help them pay the rent. But that house can support four people. I guarantee it. So how much are you willing to go down to help this process? And that's how we would work it with these housing companies. Instead of it being a mortgage, it would be a rent-to-own deal. And we would help you pay the rent, and sooner or later, you would own it. Now, property taxes, that's your guys' responsibility. The only thing we will help you with is electricity, phone, stuff like that, because everybody needs to have a phone. Everybody. With that being said, it's going to be fun. So stay tuned.
Reality, the bank account says zero. I hear him patience for being that dumb. Yeah, I just make me laugh, cause I'll be stuck. I'm on a hustle, I'm on a grind. Everything I see, hell yeah, I'm making mine. I'm supposed to shine, next in line. So packs for dimes, now get paid for rhymes. Stack up money like I wanna build mountains. You can call the large amounts that I'm counting. I'm supposed to hustle, yeah. I'm on a grind, yeah. Everything I see, I'm making mine. I'm on a hustle, yeah. I'm on a grind, yeah. Everything I see, I'm making mine.
Yeah.